Amen. Thank you for that intro. My head is times two. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you because you always have a place for your own children. Lord, we thank you because you always have a place where you recruit and raise your own army. Lord, we thank you that you have counted us worthy to be part of this team. Lord, we appreciate you. We are asking that through this conference, you are going to raise men and women that will vibrate at your frequency in the name of Jesus. As we speak, we pray that you speak to us. We pray that you inspire us. We pray that you give us things that we are not going to recover from in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Good morning. When we organize a conference and the theme has the word velocity in it, you need to prepare yourself that throughout the whole program, you'll be referring to physics. And some of you that are art students are not very comfortable right now. Some of you that are graduates are saying, this is what I struggled through university and secondary school. I'm meeting it again in church. That is the price you pay for choosing an organizing team that are all science students. Probably next year, you choose people that are also in art, and the theme might be, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And come and see how science students will be confused. What is velocity? Open your Bible and open your physics textbook. As we study together, I'll come from a perspective of teaching. We'll do it briefly. I need you to pay very close attention so that you are not going to miss anything. Amen. Are we ready to go? Your pen and paper ready. Amen. Velocity is a fundamental concept in kinetics. Boom! I don't want to hear that. I had enough of that in secondary school. The branch of classical mechanics that describes the motion of bodies. Another boring thing. This is where I'm going to. Velocity is a physical vector quantity. Now, underline these two words. Both magnitude and direction are needed to define it. To define velocity, you need to understand magnitude. You need to understand direction. Magnitude is measured, or what we call the SI unit of magnitude. Science students, is what? I catch you today. How you pass that jam, you will tell us today. The SI unit of velocity is what? Meter per second. That is, your theme, where you are going to, must make you a Christian that measures your life standard in distance covered per time. Magnitude and direction. So I'll be talking to you this morning, called the title, Magnitude and what? Direction. Let's take the time factor. If velocity is measured in meters per second, that is the distance you covered within a certain time, then time is very important. Do you agree with me? Okay, so velocity indicates your judicious and purposeful use of time. You cannot say that the Spirit works in you to achieve velocity and you do not understand how to do certain things within a definite time. Velocity implies that you don't just do things. You do it with time, and you also do it per time. There are two different things. Whatever you need to achieve, my sister, this theme is telling us, you need to achieve it with time in mind.
You also have to achieve it in time. Velocity, henceforth, by what I just said about time, is about efficiency. Now, if God is going to do anything over this weekend in us, is to make us efficient Christians. Do you know any efficient Christian? Do you know what it is to be a Christian and be efficient at it? I must tell you, very few Christians in our generation are efficient Christians. I'm really hoping that I can be counted as one of them. But don't be bamboozled by the crowd, by the team, by let us all go together. Not everybody is efficient. In velocity, we talked about magnitude. What does magnitude imply? Let me call it magnitude. Let me call it, in Pentecostal language, impact. Let me call it substance. Doing something of impact, something of substance within a certain time. It's not just about doing God's work. He's doing it in his time. It's not just about running. It's about knowing when to run, when to stop. Magnitude. What does magnitude imply for us as Christians? It is not just doing anything. It is doing what matters and doing it well. Hey, can I come again? You have to do it in time, but you cannot just do anything. You have to do what matters and doing it in time. What matters? What matters is what God wants to do now per time. If now what God wants to do is to raise missionaries, you are saying you want to start a mega church. Nobody is saying you are not going to be successful, but that thing will not have any magnitude. Because to God, at that moment, what matters are the men that will go to the mission field. Doing what matters and doing it well. Then the third factor in velocity that we discussed, direction, magnitude and direction. What does direction imply? It means that whatever you are doing must be relevant, that is magnitude, to time. It must be in a certain way, in a certain direction that God wants it to be. If you are still with me, say amen. Amen. Now, there is a common scripture in the Bible, 1 Chronicles 12:32. Was talking about the men of Issachar. If you read the whole chapter, these are David ran out running from Saul, and men started coming in from the nation of Israel to come and meet him. And the Bible chronicled the men that came from every single tribe. It's amazing that almost every other tribe that came in, the Bible just, their numbers, the name of their leader, there were 10 men, there were 100 men, there were 20 men, there were Kinnikum men. When it came to the men of Issachar, the Bible puts it this way. 1 Chronicles 12:32. These are the number of the men armed for battle who came to David at Hebron to turn Saul's kingdom over to him, as the Lord has said. Jump to verse 32 now. From Issachar, men who understood the times and knew what Israel should do, 200 chiefs with all their relatives under their command. It was only the tribe of Issachar in all those chronicles that the Bible had to pause and say, the men of Issachar that came, these guys are different. I'm praying that there are some of you that will be here, and when the Bible is reading chronicles of all the youths in New Covenant Church, it will pause on your name. See, direction means that it is not just the noise. It must be the right noise. If I ask you, shout in the sanctuary, you will jump up and you will scream. But what has that noise, what is that noise going to achieve in your life? What is a chain that is in your life that you shouting to him, that chain will break? You cannot just shout in the sanctuary and go and lust in the lobby. Are you following me? You cannot shout in the sanctuary and go and struggle in your quiet time. You cannot just shout in the sanctuary and you remain irrelevant in the place where you walk. Velocity, magnitude, and what? It is not just about an idea, direction. It's just about an idea. It must be the right idea for the time. Everybody has an idea. When you talk about entrepreneurs, you understand? When we go for current entrepreneurs and you speak, people come to you. Sir, I have an idea. I have this idea. Everybody has an idea. But very few ideas are relevant. The ideas that you come up with, are they relevant? Direction. It's not just about wealth. It must be the right wealth fit for purpose. Some of you are going to be praying during this program that God in his mercy is going to give you the velocity to achieve and to make it. And I say amen for you. Say amen for yourself. But not all wealth is relevant. For some people, their millions will buy them a very good burial. And once they are buried, there is nothing about them that no man can mention. But when you have direction, you can spend 2,000 naira. And for the next 10 generations, men are talking about you spending 2,000 naira. Generations will write about you spending how much? But you could have millions in your account and no man will remember you. Magnitude and direction. You have a verse with your theme, Psalm 18, verse 32. Psalm 18, verse 32. Please open to it. We want to analyze it briefly, then we go on to pray. Psalm 18, verse 32. If you have the Message translation, please open it up. And I'm going to read it. But let me first read from the NIV. It is God who arms me with strength and keeps my way secure. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He causes me to stand on the heights. This is what the Message is saying. Psalm 18, 32, 33, the Message translation. Is there any God like God? Are we not at bedrock? Is not this the God who armed me? Then aimed me. What is that? Direct. Let me come again. Is it not this God that armed me? And then aimed me in the right direction. Now I run like a deer. I'm the king of the mountain. Let me do a little bit of teaching here. A lot of times when you open the scripture, you understand that you are reading a translation from an original language into the English language. Are you following me? So when you are reading English language, you have to know that sometimes the English is just the best suited word for what was meant in the original Greek or the Hebrew. So sometimes if you want to know the import of a word, go back to the original language. I'm already sounding boring to you. Which one's original language now? Speak what you want to speak. Let us go home. Abi? But no, people that operate on optimum velocity, it's just not important that you hear God's word or read it. You must know what the original writer implies. Let's take it line by line and I will rush through it. If you're ready to jot, please jot. It is God. It is God that arms me. The word arm there in the original language implies gird me. G-I-R-D. Are you following? It is God that girds me. It also implies encompass me. It is God that encompasses you. It also implies equip. What does equip mean? What does equip mean? The necessary tool. The necessary tool to get something done. It is God that equips me. Another synonym for the original word for arm in that verse is it is God that clothes me. Are you following? We're going to talk about velocity. It is God that does what? To operate in optimum velocity, the Holy Spirit has to clothe you. What does that mean? It is God that determines what people see when they look at me. It is not just about showing up. You wake up in the morning, you want to go out, and you tell God, dear God, let no man that I do not need to see me today. Let every single person that I meet be the right person I'm supposed to see. I don't need to see 50 people per day. All I need to see is to see 2 people that God wants me to see. It is God that clothes me, that determines what I look like. It is God that determines my image. It is not how well I'm dressed. It is not how much makeup I put on. It is not how well I speak. It is not my shape or my physique. It is what God wants people to see that they do what? That they see. It is God that arms me. It is God that holds me close. That's another synonym. Hold close. That arm means hold close. And a word puts it this way. A word is clasp. You know what clasp means? You grab something. Clasp. Those that operate in optimum velocity, sir, are people that are not just around God. Are people that don't just walk with God. Are people that are grabbed and clasped by God. For some of you, God has only put his hand on your shoulder. You're already breathing heavy. This load is heavy. I'm not free. God has only put his hand on your shoulder. You're already asking for freedom. The people that operate in that divine velocity are people that are what? When you are grabbed, you will know. Can you be grabbed and you will not know? Okay? And we are just unarmed. It is God that arms me with strength. The synonym for that strength in the original language says might. Replace the word strength with might. Have you done that? It is God that arms you with might. Another synonym is this. It is God that arms me with, guess what? Efficiency. Magnitude. And what? Direction. A synonym from the original writer of that verse. The word strength in that verse is Hayil in Hebrew. Hayil implies, sometimes could imply, efficiency. It is God who arms me with efficiency. It is God who clothes me with efficiency. Sometimes it could mean force. The next line, it is God who arms me with strength and keeps my way. Keeps my what? Keeps my what? We did a study some time ago, found out that most of the times when the Bible used the word way, W-A-Y, he does not mean that way. He's not talking necessarily about an abstract path you pass through. So you know how you will know? Go to your concordance and go and check the original word for way in the Bible. And it has several translations. One common one is Derek. The one in this verse is Dakil. I'm already scaring you, Abby, but you need to get there. Are you following me? You know what Dakil means? Dakil can be made, of course, way. Sometimes it's interpreted as manner. Your manner. M-A-N-N-E-R. Are you with me to that point? It is God that arms me with strength and makes my manners. What is somebody's manner? What's your manner? What does it mean? Attitude? The way you do things. Do you understand that same way, another synonym for it in the Bible is the word habit. Habit. Really? Way. So, it is God who arms me with strength. So, it makes sense. It is God who arms me with efficiency. Are you following? And makes my habits. Another synonym for that word way, is of course of life. Another synonym from that verse is of moral character. The word way alone in the Bible. So it is God that arms me with strength, arms me with efficiency, and makes my habit, and makes my way of life, and makes my moral character secure, or another translation will say blameless. Blameless implies complete, whole, sound. Another word for it is innocent. You remember Romans 16:19. Be excellent at what is good. Be innocent of what? Be innocent of what? Innocent of what? Innocent of what? I'm talking to you too. You have to answer me. If it's our daddy sitting down, I know daddy has gone. He's seated here, but he has gone. He's thinking of school fees. But you are young people, Abby. Okay. Be excellent at what is good. Be innocent of evil. Be excellent at what is good. Be innocent of. When I'm done today, I'm going to award Max for how many people that know the Bible. Amen. Are you with me to that point? It is God who arms me with strength and keeps my way, my habit, my manners, my course of life blameless, innocent. He makes my feet, referring to God gives me a pace to move. Now we are coming down to velocity. He makes my what? My feet. That is, God works upon your manners, your habits, your way of life by holding you. And what that does to you is that he gives you a pace that no man can understand. Was it Elijah or Elisha? When the king got on his chariot, was about riding his brand new Mercedes-Benz chariot. Elijah gathered his girdle, packed himself together, and did what? And started running. And ran and overtake a chariot with horses. That is the level we are coming to. Amen. That in the course of life, what men use connection for, what men have to sit in offices for, what Christians go to the mountains to pray for, you sit in the corner of your room, you make a declaration, and your pace becomes the pace of what? Of the dare. What's the Bible talking about? He makes your pace, and he causes me to stand on the heights. And I'm going to end on this verse here. The word heights in the original Greek is bamote. Now, why did I go there? Because it is quite dicey. Listen to me. He said, after God has done all those things, increases your pace, he takes you to the heights. Now, this is what bamote means. It is not just necessarily a high place. Of course it is. Bamote is a technical name for an occultic platform. The word height there, the initial intention is referring to a level, a platform that people aspire to. A platform you look at and you worship what is on that platform. You know what the Bible is telling you? When all these things are done, you become like a god. Now, before you begin to raise up your defenses and say, are you telling us we are going to be like God? Blasphemy. Where did they find this brother from? Let us open the Bible. The verse is so powerful. The Bible is saying, God is saying, I will grab you. I will hold you. I will lock you down in such a way that your manner, your habits, your course of life will be so intact and perfect that your pace will supersede every other person. And you get to a point in life that other men will worship you. Do you know that Jesus himself said that we are gods? John 10:34. Jesus answered them, is it not written in the law? Jesus was referring to Psalm 82 verse 6 here. Jesus was telling them, I have said you are gods. If he called them gods, to whom the word of God came, and scripture cannot be set aside, what about the one whom the Father set apart as his very own and sent into the world? Why then do you accuse me of blasphemy because I said I am God's son? The man that operates on optimum velocity is a god to his generation. Am I saying facts? There are men in this generation that you know that operate on optimum velocity. What do you see people do? People travel miles to do what? To gather to them. Jesus says, if I indeed be lifted up, I will do what? I will draw men to myself. Will you see Jesus standing? No, he will lift you up. And men will do what? Men will come to you. Amen. Magnitude and direction. Psalm 18 is talking about optimum velocity, as I've analyzed to you. My dear, what is optimum velocity? See, optimum velocity is when your shadow does work that you don't have time to do. Has it happened before? Who did it happen to? Eh? Bible students. Happened to who? Peter was so busy, you understand, doing something else. His shadow also was busy doing what? That's a frequency that not ordinary man can vibrate at. Amen. Optimum velocity is when your image alone is enough to solve problems. My dear youth, you enter into a place, you enter into your church, you enter into your committee, you enter into your place of work, and you just stepping in, problems starts getting solved. Are you listening? I'm not talking about the one that comes from fear. You enter into a place where sin is going on. You don't have to carry your Bible. You know those big, huge Bibles. No. You just walk in, and they are saying something wrong. And because you came in, they have to stop. Are you following me? Not because you squeezed your face. You only said good morning. And men have been convicted of their sins. Optimum velocity. Optimum velocity is when your name being mentioned alone opens doors. I pray that in life you are going to get to that stage in the name of Jesus. Some are born for greatness. Some are born to fall. Some are bound to be forgotten like they never lived at all. That will not be your portion in Jesus' name. Only one life to live. I must be able to appear somewhere. You mention my name and doors open. Amen. If I try it now, it doesn't open. I go back into my privacy and get keyed in into that optimum velocity. You are young. Some of you are about to start your life. It is nice that you get it right now so that we do not repeat the struggles of our fathers. As I'm saying, you know what I'm saying when I say the struggles of our fathers. Some of us cannot go back home because you know there is no support there. Some of us know what our parents went through to be able to make a living. Are you talking to me? Some of us know where the marriages of our parents and our families are now. Some of us are saddled and burdened down with responsibilities because our parents could not rise up to the occasion. Why should you repeat the same thing when there is a God that can walk upon your pace and just one of you in your family, problems get solved? A stage in life where nobody will do anything until you come up, until you appear. Let's wait for today. Optimum velocity is when you are but a fisherman, but even 2,000 years later, professors are studying your writings. Optimum velocity is when you always show up at the right place, at the right time. Magnitude and what? Magnitude and what? How many of you have experienced you just showed up at the right time, at the right place? Has it happened to you before? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Don't be shy. Let's know those that walk in the supernatural. Does it happen often? Huh? Okay. Let me lend you a secret today. If you forget everything, don't forget this one. Being in the right place and at the right time is not chance. It's not luck. It's about a lifestyle. That experience that has happened to you, you want it to keep on happening to you, Abby? Being at the right place at what? At the right time. It is not about chances. If you study that particular day it happened to you, you did one or two things right before it happened. What if we consistently get it right? I'm talking to you about a way of life that I've been walking in ever since I gave my life to Christ. I didn't know it was possible. But trust me, I'm not in a hurry to go anywhere, but when I show up, that's when I'm supposed to be. No amount of pressure. This is what they are doing now. They are doing MMM. They are doing MMF. They are doing WWW. They are doing Bitcoin. Yeah, I study those things. But until I hear the still small voice, I don't do what? Optimum velocity is when almost every single time you show up at the right place. At the what? At the right time. Optimum velocity is when you always, okay, I've said that. Optimum velocity is when your peers are fascinated enough to study your life. Dear brother and sister, who do you inspire? Even at this level. Amen. Magnitude and Who do you inspire? Who looks at your life and say, if I can just try and be like this? Optimum velocity is when we attain and are content with God wants, with what God wants you to be, whatever God wants you to be. This is optimum velocity, sir. God says, you study petroleum engineering. Are you following me? Of course you want to be in Lagos or Port Harcourt because Shell are looking for you. Huh? Then from there, you can get a secondment to Canada. You understand? Somebody has said amen there. And you think, if I can just make it to Shell or Chevron or Mobil or Mosquito Coil, whichever one, if I can make it, that means I'm at optimal velocity. No, that's not what the Bible says. We're coming to that later. Optimal velocity is when God tells you that you're a petroleum engineer with a master's degree with a first class. But you're going to settle down in Oshogbo. And the only oil company you will see is a palm oil factory. Some people are saying, Jesus' name, you'll not be like you. Because there's a caveat to your physics. Let's go back to our PNOKK and read what optimal velocity is. The only velocity that you have is not the optimal one. You also have maximum velocity. But you don't want to have maximum velocity. Go and read physics. Optimum velocity is the velocity with which the body should be moving so that it can attain all processes. Did you hear that? I'm sorry if you are in art class. So sorry, but just write it down. One day it will make sense. I'm not abusing you. Don't worry. If you talk about government, now me too, I don't understand you. There is optimum velocity for the body to be in streamline motion. Listen, there's also maximum velocity. Now, maximum velocity means over limit, while optimum velocity means right and perfect amount. Optimum velocity is not about chasing somebody. Optimum velocity is not about how this is being done. Optimum velocity is not about who did my friend marry. I must be able to find somebody like this. See how God packaged a man for this, my sister. Ah, see how God packaged man. Chai! No! Optimum velocity is just what you need per time. As I always say, listen, the life that we run, the Bible says that what you have under normal circumstances about 70 years. By virtue of strength, you can make 80 or 90. Eh? If God is with you, make 150. Are you following me? You do realize that everything we do is about passing a baton. For whatever you are doing now, somebody has passed a baton down to you. When your 70 years are up or 80, you're going to pass that baton down. Which means that, see, when you are running a relay, there are four legs. Am I right? The first leg, somebody runs it. Second leg takes the baton, somebody runs it. Imagine the guy with the second leg taking the baton, running and meeting up with the third leg. Instead of passing the baton, passes him and keeps on running. What is going to happen? Even if they don't disqualify him, he's going to be running with fresh legs at the third leg. He will not be able to sustain it. Optimal velocity is doing what God has called you to come and do here on earth. No more, no less. Optimal velocity is not about showing your mates that you are better than them, or you are richer than them, or you are more anointed than them, or you look more beautiful than them, or you can speak better. No. Optimal velocity is that if God says that in New Covenant Church, what I want you to do is to support the youth president, and you will never be the youth president, you are content with that. Are you following me? That is optimum velocity. We are coming to the clarification of that soon. Let's find reasons to pray about halfway. How to achieve optimum velocity? As I say it, I need you to write it down. If you are writing it down, I need you to gather the burden to pray about it. How do I achieve optimum velocity? Number one, practical. Create experiences and learn from your experiences. I'll explain. Number one, create experiences and learn from your experiences. I talked about 1 Chronicles 12:32, the men of Issachar. You know what I did with that verse? There was a word there that caught my attention. From Issachar, men who understood the times and knew, and that one got me curious, and knew, what did they know? What Israel is supposed to do. So I went to the original Greek or Hebrew for the word knew. You know what it meant? The word means vowed, V-O-W-W-D-E. It means to know by experience. The men of Issachar were not necessarily anointed to do supernatural things. They were just men that applied themselves in the past, have learned some things that are needed to be implemented now. Are you following me? To operate at optimum velocity, challenge yourself, create experiences, and learn from it. How do you create experiences? Pay attention. What did I say? That's a simple English instruction, Abby. Please repeat it. Do what? What does pay attention mean? See, pay attention to every success. One. Pay attention to every failure. Two. Pay attention to every struggle. Three. Pay attention to every embarrassment. Pay attention to every pain. Pay attention to every work stress, every challenge. Pay attention to that difficult boss in your office. Optimum velocity. Pay attention to that challenging issue in your life. Pay attention to that debilitating illness in your system. Hey, pay attention. Because under God, nothing is by coincidence. Create experiences and learn from them. That boss at work is difficult. It's making your life unbearable. You want to change job immediately. Have you asked God? No. It's only logical. No, it's not logical. Let me give you a hint. I want you to look into your life. Look at people that are in your life, number one. Number two, look at people that are in your life that you cannot control how, why they were there or not. Do you have people like that in your life? Did you get me? Sister, did you get me? Look into your life, your work, your school, your family, your external family, your in-laws. Look at people that surround you that if you were given the chance, you would delete them from your life. But it's not within your power to delete them. Pay attention to them. There's a reason why they are there. Some people are in your life to shape you. Some people are in your life to shake you. Pay attention. Jesus had the 12. There was a Judas. You agree with me? Jesus paid attention to Judas. He didn't send him away. Of all the disciples, Judas was the fast track for Jesus' purpose in life. If they left it to Peter, they would still be eating mango and enjoying themselves in the streets of Jerusalem. If they left it to Matthew, they would still be making money and paying their taxes. If they left it to Andrew, it's not those two experiments of five fishes and seven fishes. By now, they will be multiplying cars, horses, chariots for everybody. Pay attention to everybody in your life. Oh, you've been pregnant before and you aborted. Pay attention. Don't go and commit suicide. Yeah, it's bad. Yes, we know. But pay attention. Oh, you know, I'm no more a virgin. Before I gave my life to Christ, everything has, I'm only hiding my face. Pay attention! What did I say? Why are you giving up? Somebody is making your life miserable. Pay what? Attention! You're at a work and they are not paying you well and you're not receiving salary for the past 3 months and you wanted to leave but you have not found a better place. Do what? Pay attention! One day, hunger, hunger will hit your head from the back and an idea will come. I can be a millionaire too. Pay attention. Don't just run away from challenges. Pay attention to people. See, we are youths. As much as possible, everybody say amen. As much as possible, resist the attempt to always compete, contest, envy people. You are making a huge mistake. People are assets. Optimum velocity. The witch that is bothering your own life is somebody else's mother. Yes or no? Amen. The witch that wants to kill you, and you are running all around, you've not been at work for the past 1 month because there's a witch there. It's somebody else's uncle. And he's paying his own tuition fee. So as you are praying that God will kill him, somebody is praying, God, don't let him die. Oh. Pay attention to people. Optimum velocity. Resist every impulse to compete, strive, and strive with people. You can be inspired by people. Oh. You can be challenged by people. You can learn from people, but never ever come low to the level of being envious or jealous or bitter against people. You know what those things do? Those things blind. Those things dull your contact with power. When you join two wires together, those of you that have cars, after a while you check the top of your battery, you find out that some chemical reaction has happened. They turn green like this. What does those things do on top of your battery? It affects the contact, your partial contact. So one day you just dress in your suit, you are going to an Owambe, you are wearing white, and you start your car, it does not start. And you have to open the boot. Open the bonnet, Abby. Then you put your hand, start touching wires. You are wearing white, though. Abby. And your hand is stained with oil, and you are wondering what's happening. Because there was a partial contact that you did not notice. At that point in time, your phone rang in your pocket. And your hand was red. Has it happened to you before? Phone doesn't ring in your pocket until your hand is filled with engine oil. Amen. Bitterness, envy, jealousy. What it does, it causes partial contact between you and God. Criticize less. I'm still under great experiences. Criticize less. Pay more attention. There is someone you can help. I know you are broke. There's somebody you can lift. My dear, if you have nothing else to do, smile at somebody. That sounds simple, Abby. Turn somebody beside you and smile. I know some people will not turn and smile. Amen. There's always something you can do. It doesn't matter that you didn't have more transport money in your pocket as you are seated down there. You can still smile, Abby. As you smile now, did you write on your face? She's broke. Did you see it? A song I love so much was by a band called Salvador. Salvador said, make me aware, make me see that everything I am is not all about me. So take my world, turn it around, so the obvious can finally be revealed. Everything about you is not about you. You don't have daddy, Abby. And for that reason, that's why you are sitting where you are. If only I had daddy now. If only I had daddy. It's not about you alone. Optimum velocity. Create experiences. Learn from the experiences. There's something you can do. Give, help, assist, devote yourself. Pay attention. Proverbs 11:25. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be what? I've told you. Pay attention to people around you. Some people are there to shape you. Some people are there to shake you. Don't resist being shaken. You know the people that help you most in life? The people that you remember their name and your heart goes, beep, 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 beep. Am I right? Do you have people like that in your life? Ah, God bless you. Those are the ones that have the most impact in your life. Create experiences. And one thing that's happening in the 21st century church, I think I need to address this, is this. See, youth, we talk too much. You didn't get me, baby. Should I say it in Yoruba? What is in Yoruba? We talk too much. When a generation where God does something, share it. Are you listening? Tell people about it. Then you stand up and share a testimony, and when you are done, we are wondering, are you talking about what God has done? Abi, we just knew that your daddy just bought a brand new Mercedes Benz. Which one are we learning of the two? This is where the pit is. Sometimes share less of your opinion and listen more to others. Create experiences. Velocity. To attain optimum velocity, talk less, listen more. Because one of the things we learn about people with optimum velocity is what? When they talk, they only need to talk once. And what happens? And things begin to change. Number two, understand the seasons. To attain optimum velocity, understand the season. Now, this is very crucial. If I end here, I'm fine. Understand. What do I mean by understanding the season? Ecclesiastes chapter 3 is a cliche scripture. From verse 1, there is time for everything under the earth, as well as well. So there is time for this, time to die, time to write, time to sleep, time to scan, time. Yeah. But when he got to verse 10, he said, I have seen the burden God has laid on the human race. He has made everything beautiful in its time. We are back to what? Velocity. Meters per. He has made all things beautiful in its time. He has also set aside in the heart, in the human heart, yet no one can fathom what God has done from the beginning. Even while we tell ourselves to increase our velocity, to achieve optimum velocity, we are not necessarily talking about accelerating. Are you following me? There are two different things. Please, very careful and listen to this. When we are to obtain optimum velocity, we need to obtain that optimum velocity in the season that you are now. It is paramount I'm saying this because I'm talking to youths. Say amen. Some of us are in our seed season. When you are in your seed season, it's a season where you are hidden. Not many people know about you. You do great things, but very few people appreciate or understand it. Your seed season is a season where you are seated under this ministration and you know that you can do times 10 of what I just did now, but nobody will call you. Who are they calling? It is me they are calling. Hi. It's my time. Are you following me? Don't, because you understand velocity, you want to jump me and jump the mic. Are you following me? Your season now is what? The seed season. Where you sit down, study, invest. You seem obscure. You seem non-relevant. It's as if nobody notices you, sister. All your colleagues have been proposed to. Some have been proposed to 3 times over. They've not knocked your door. And you think, this is my time of velocity. Velocity. This might be your obscure moment. Invest in yourself. Pray into your life. Study. Might be the time to take a course. Take an extra degree. Pray more. Study more. What we're saying is this. Obtain optimum velocity within the season you are. They did not call it accelerate. They said what? Even if you have to accelerate. Accelerate within what? Your own season. You know the reason why? You don't want to arrive too early. Nowadays, you know the new thing in town now. Everybody wants to blow. You understand blow? Everybody wants to blow. Somebody just enters the studio and begins, and he has blown. Somebody goes on Instagram and begins to do like this, and he has what? Everybody wants to blow. You too want to blow. Don't blow too early. You know the problem with blowing too early? Why you blow too early? Eh? Sin and boredom will be waiting for you in front. Because when you achieve what you're supposed to achieve at age 50, if you achieve it at 20, what will you be doing when you get to 50? Idleness will be waiting for you. If you blow too late, that one too is not good. On your 71st birthday, they gave you a gift of $1 million. It's good news. Until somebody says, Eduro, no. What does Baba want to use $1 million to do now? Because in the morning, he will drink ogi. In the evening, he has to eat eko before 6 o'clock. Otherwise, he will not sleep. But if that $1 million came at age 30, what do you think will happen? Attain optimum velocity in your season. Your harvest is coming. Your harvest is coming. Your harvest is coming. Some people are seated here that are going to speak to generations. Some people are seated here that their life, whatever they're going to do in life, will be read and studied for generations to come. Some people are here. Your womb is going to carry the next savior of the country. I am not just praying for you. These are real things. Because it is in the midst of you that the presence of God works for the next generation. Some of you are going to receive batons. You are going to run some races that for the next generations to come, nobody will be able to match it. It has happened before. God made Solomon a case study and said, well, Solomon, oh, I want to give you so much wealth. You will be a case study for all ages to come. Before you, nobody will be as rich as you. And after you, nobody will be doing what? I don't care what Jeff Bezos is. The Bible says that he's not as rich as what? As Solomon. Velocity. Optimum velocity. But how do you achieve it? You must be clasped in his arms. A lot of us, our link to God is by a leash. What do you mean by a leash? What does a leash mean? A rope around your neck. When you are walking bingo, you hold the rope, Abby, down bingo's neck. A lot of us, our link to God is by a leash. A lot of us in this generation as youths, we're only linked to him by a leash. You know what a leash does? Yeah, I have some. Yeah, I know God, no? I know, Shebi is God. I know him, but I can still be doing my own things. I'm not far from him. I'm not far from God. Usually, I come to meetings once in 2 weeks. You understand? But I can still go around God and do my own things. You know what God is saying? Those that operate in optimum velocity, that frequency cannot be transferred through a leash. Are you following me? It's a very simple thing. My dear brother, you want to feel vibration? Please hug this speaker. Are you following me? And let the bass player run some bass lines. What would you feel? But tie a rope around your leg and put it on that speaker, what will happen? That's our experiences for most of us with God. What we claim to be our experiences with God never happened. To obtain optimum velocity, to vibrate at the frequency of the divine, you have to be what? No, it's not about just a quiet time prayer. It's about every moment, every minute, every step with prayer, my dear. It's not about asking, how do I hear God? It's about sitting down and practicing and learning to do what? To hear him. It's not difficult. Somebody says, how do I know when God is speaking to you? My answer is very simple. When God speaks to you, you will know. How do you know if I slap you? Come. They said that electricity shocks people. How do you know when you are being shocked? Come and touch life wire. You want to know how God speaks to you? That means he has never spoken to you. Optimum velocity. The last point I will take with you is this. Travel light. To attain optimum velocity, you need to travel light. When you are traveling light, a Formula One car or anything that has to do with speed, always understand, if you want to go faster, you don't carry much load, yes or no? Travel light. Build on efficiency. Matthew 11, 28, the Message puts it this way. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me. You will recover your life. I will show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and walk with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of what? Of grace. Learn the unforced rhythms, the vibration, the frequency, the velocity of what? Of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you will learn to live freely and lightly. Efficiency is knowing what to and what not to take along. The most efficient achievers travel with less load. When God makes a way for you, don't carry along what you do not need. If you overload, what will happen to you? If you overload in Nigeria, what will happen to you? Every single mile will be a stop and search, yes or no? Somebody will ask you what thing you carry. You know why a lot of us, our work with God has been a struggle? There are too much distractions. You are carrying enough things for people to keep on distracting you. You want to work with God, you are a sister. You are much more particular about what you look like physically. And you are wondering why your spiritual life is not solid. I've been praying to God. I need spirit Jim, brother, to come to me. Is this already base case people that keep on coming to me? You are carrying a distraction. You are carrying a load that is attracting them. Something is smelling on you that is attracting them. That thing that is smelling on you, when a spirit brother sees you, a good Christian sees you, you know that, okay, if I take this one home to my pastor now, pastor will say I need to be born again. So they move away from you because you are carrying a load. Every single mile for you, meters per what? Per second. If you are carrying a load, your meter per second will be a frustration. It's going to be a stop and search. Stop and wait even to rest sometimes. That is why you could like to attend church, attend fellowship, attend the youth meeting. You tried for the next 3 months. They didn't see you for the next 6 months. What is sumi? No, it is not them. It is you. You are too heavy. You need to stop and do what? And rest. Or sometimes it is stop and rob. Why you carry too many things? You have a laptop in your bag. You have this one. Somebody will break your glass and do what? And steal something. So our Christian lives has been stop and rob. People have been taking things away from you. You understand? This is your second engagement, your third engagement. They don't stay. This one sleeps with you, goes. See, stop and rob. Stop and rob. May God in his mercy give you the grace to find optimum velocity. What are the loads that we carry? For some of us, it is bitterness. Some of you were hurt by your parents and you still carry it. And you wonder why you are still where you are. And God is saying, I understand you are in pain. But you also have to understand that this is your life and you are carrying a load. Some of you have been jilted and for that reason you are not moving forward. You were even jilted by the very spirit brother inside the fellowship. And for that reason, is what they would do. When I was younger, well, you know, I work amidst students. You hear a lot of the sisters say, well, I would do what I want to do. I would dress when I want to. Anybody that wants to fall for his own sake. She was reacting to something that somebody has done to her. I became a load. Bitterness, envy, jealousy. A lot of us are here. You see a fellow sister, a fellow brother at your place of work. You are jealous. You are envious. Yes, I understand. That person has something you do not have. And you really desire to do have it. But do you realize that you are carrying a load that is keeping you from optimum velocity? Are you here this afternoon? You want to vibrate at divine frequency. You want to make it light. Trust me, I've lived a couple of years on earth. And I also started as youth on campus, seated there, not understanding my right from left. But I can tell you that I understood later when I gave my life to Christ and learned to drop load and learned to grab and hold onto him. Not by a leash. For some of you are tied to God by Bluetooth. You heard me? Some of you, your attachment to God is by what? Bluetooth. If there's no electricity, your contact with God does what? Do you want to hold and grab onto him? For the sake of your life, for the sake of the next generation, for the sake of your children, for the sake of the legacy that God has put ahead of you, for where you are going that no man knows except him alone. Are you here? You feel that you want to do that? Can you stand up and let us pray together? You will stand up. Let's pray. Are you here? You want to make a recommitment to him. You want to make a recommitment. I will not call you out. Where you are, you'll raise up your hand and you'll call to God. Lord, I need a peace that man cannot understand. Lord, I need a commitment. Lord, I need a grip. Lord, I need a frequency that cannot be dampened. Lord, I need the grace to run. Stretch your hands to the divine one and ask him. Lord, I need the velocity that you require for this generation. Lord, I want this fire to burn in me, the fire for optimum velocity. Within my season, the grace for optimum velocity. Is there a load, is there a burden in your life that you have identified? Is there a distraction in your life that you have identified? Can you let it go now? Can you let it go now? Can you let it go now? The one you don't have strength for, has that God will unburden you. Dear Lord, enough of stop and search in my life. Enough of distractions. A passion for optimum velocity. A passion for optimum velocity. A passion for optimum velocity. That I may be all that I was born to be. That I may be all that I was born to be. Are you here? You have dropped the baton somewhere. Are you here? You have missed the point somewhere. Are you here? You have missed the turning. You have missed the road. I want you to talk to God and ask that God will renew you. God will set you back on the path that he wants you to be. The grace to run. The grace to run. I want you to stretch out your heart to him and say, God, I need you to grab me. I need you to grab me. I need you to hold me. Enough of walking with you by a leash. Enough of walking with you by knowledge. I need you to grab me in the name of Jesus.